Watch Company, makers of fine American watches for over 80 years, presents its 7th annual Thanksgiving Day greeting to America. 2 hours of stars broadcast throughout the United States to our veterans, hospitals, and servicemen overseas by Armed Forces Radio and shortwave around the world. In the next 2 hours, the Elgin Watch Company brings you Don Ameche, Mario Lanza, Gary Moore, Jimmy Durante, the Mills Brothers, Vera Vague, Andre Previn, Bob Hopkins, Jack Benny, Francis Langford, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, the Bickersons, and Red Skelton with the Elgin Orchestra and Chorus under the direction of Robert Armbruster. I'm Ken Carpenter, and here is your host for the full 2 hours, Don Ameche.
As an old and wonderful word of welcome for this day, ladies and gentlemen, it's Happy Thanksgiving. And in behalf of the Elgin Watch Company, the Elgin Jewelers, and all the stars gathered together here in Hollywood, may I say Happy Thanksgiving and welcome to 2 Hours of Stars. Originally conceived and shortwaved overseas 7 years ago as Elgin's way of bringing a little bit of home to our men and women in the service during the holidays, its presentation every Thanksgiving and Christmas Day has been continued through the years as a public service, symbolizing the goodwill and fellowship Americans share together during the holidays. And here to start the festivities is the young Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer star discovery regarded by many as the greatest tenor since Caruso, Mario Lanza.
There's an old Italian phrase.
Calling on Mario for an encore a little later, but right about now on the Elgin Watch Company's 2 Hours of Stars, it's become accustomed to go calling on two gentlemen we feel go together like turkey and cranberry sauce. It was Thanksgiving Day just 5 years ago that Elgin first presented a famed and fabulous comedy team known as The Nose and the Haircut, Jimmy Durante and Gary Moore. For the past 2 seasons, each of these pleasantly demented gentlemen has had a show of his own. But every Thanksgiving finds them reunited again at the Elgin Watch Company's request. So let's start as usual with a junior member of the firm, America's most unpredictable quiz master, the star of Take It or Leave It, Gary Moore.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Don Ameche, and greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Well, who is our first contestant for tonight? You, sir, this gentleman in the front row, would you like to win $32,000 worth of basketball sneakers?
Say,
Don't forget to stick around for the giant jackpot race, folks. Tonight we are giving away 47 acres of Vigoro.
Look, Gary, old man.
All you have to do to win this magnificent prize is identify the breath of the mystery sponsor.
Gary, just a minute, please.
What's the matter, Don?
I hate to tell you this, but we don't have any contestants on this program.
No contestants?
No.
Well, then, who do you give all the prizes to?
We don't give any prizes.
Well, then, what are all these people doing here?
Well, they came here just to be entertained, that's all.
Just to be entertained?
Yeah.
Oh, you fools, you! You dear, sweet, lovable fools! Mm. Don, hadn't you heard? Entertainment on the radio nowadays is passé. Giveaway programs are the big thing. Why, it's gotten so nowadays, Don, that when a person answers the telephone, he no longer says, who is it? He just says, how much?
Well, it may seem a bit old-fashioned, Gary, but we still believe in entertainment.
Oh?
As a matter of fact, I went to a lot of trouble to cook up some jokes for you to tell today.
Jokes, Don?
Yeah.
You mean like, why does an Indian wear feathers in his hat? It's to keep his wigwam, that sort of thing.
Oh, say, even better than that one. I got some real wing-dingers for you.
Oh, I'll just bet you ding-dong have. Where are these witticisms here, Don?
Well, start reading. Right up there at the top of the page.
Oh, I see. Oh, you mean where it says a funny thing happened to me on my way to the studio today?
Yeah. Is that a mouthful?
That's good. I bet that is, yes. I'll try anything. I'll try anything once. Here we go. Say, Don, a funny thing happened to me on my way to the studio today. I walked into a bakery and I saw a sign on the wall that said policeman cookies for sale. And I said to the lady behind the counter, for heaven's sakes, what are policeman cookies? And she said, cop cakes.
Well, that was a real Jim Dandy, wasn't it?
Oh, you're crackerjack, right, that was, yeah. That's the sort of thing that could bring back silent radio.
Gee, don't stop now that you're rolling. Go on, read the next line.
I'm rolling. Yeah, okay.
You're rolling, go ahead.
Here we go. Say, Don, I once knew a boy named Abe and a girl named Anna who fell in love and got married. But 2 years later, they separated. And you know something, Don? That's the first time I'd ever seen Abe and Anna split. Well, who is our first contestant for tonight? Stick around for the jackpot question, folks.
See, I don't know. Maybe you're right, Gary. Tell me more about these quiz shows. Do they all give away money?
Oh, heavens to Elizabeth. No, Don. No. You see, on some of the shows, they give away merchandise.
Oh.
I heard a show the other night where they not only gave a lady a free garbage disposal unit, they also gave her a 5-year supply of garbage. That's true, and not only that, they also have special quiz programs for every different age group. On the Quiz Kid program the other day, they had one kid who was only a year and a half old.
A year and a half?
Uh-huh. They had to transcribe the program so the kid could be burped at a more convenient time. They think of everything, though.
Yeah, well, that takes care of the kiddies, but what about the old folks? Is there no special quiz program for them?
Well, no, not yet, but I'm working on it, Don. I'm developing a new quiz show with four experts. One is 95 years old, another is 102, another is 112, and the other is 117 years old. And I'm calling this program, Can You Stand Up? It's got to be a great thing. But look at Don, don't let me talk you out of entertainment. As a matter of fact, I'm expecting a very dear friend of mine any minute now, one of the great entertainers of our time. Mm. And sure enough, here he comes now, the small man with the large nose and the heart to match, the one and only Jimmy Durante, in person.
You've got to start off each day with a song. Now, even when things go wrong, you feel better, you even look better. Wait a minute. How do you like that one? Turkey survives Thanksgiving and already he's making a guest appearance. Get the beak on that turkey. While he was alive, my job was in jeopardy.
Oh, you haven't changed a bit. It's my old Durante in the flesh. Durante in the flesh.
Don't tell me I forgot to put on a suit. But greetings, Gary, and top of the turkey to you.
Thank you, James.
And in honor of the day, I would like to read a poem of Thanksgiving greetings for the president in Washington, D.C.
That sounds fetching. How does this poem go?
Happy Thanksgiving, Mr. Truman. In November, you're still blooming. Though outside the snows may flurry, ain't that better than Missouri? You
had better laughs, folks. No coward don't write this junk for nothing, you know.
May I say, James, that poem was truly a beautiful sentiment?
Thank you, Junior. But do you think Mr. Truman can get elected twice?
Jim, look, you don't say twice. The word is just twice.
That's what I said, twice.
No, Jim, you see, there is no T on the end of twice. Now, look, just say twice, then clap your hand over your mouth.
Okay, twice. Must have leaked out through my nose. I know it took a long time, but that's quite a trip. It's the scenic route.
Jimmy, look, since turkeys are so high this year, did you have any trouble getting one for Thanksgiving?
Gary, I avoided that dilemma.
You did, huh?
3 months ago, I...
That's good. Huh?
That's the time they didn't stick me. I'd like to repeat that.
Go ahead, I dare you.
Gary, I averted that dilemma. 3 months ago, I bought a turkey and put him in the backyard to fatten him up.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday, I wanted to check on his avoirdupois, so I took the turkey down to the drugstore to weigh him.
Uh-huh.
I put the turkey on the scale, dropped the penny in the slot, and out came a card that said, "You weigh 22 pounds and have no future." The turkey must have seen that card, cause shortly thereafter, he escaped. He flew south with a valise full of cranberry sauce.
That's right. Then how did you go about getting another turkey for Thanksgiving, James?
Well, the butchers were sold out, so I went to a turkey raffle. And what a fiasco.
Oh.
You see, I had number 84573849567. And the fellow next to me had number 84857463529. So just for luck, I said, "You have a kind face. I'll trade you for my 84573849567 for your... 84587546359. So he gave me the 84857463529 for my 84738485867. A lucky number.
Well, who won?
The judge's brother-in-law with number 6. Peculiar coincidence. But in spite of everything, Junior, what a grand tradition Thanksgiving is.
Yeah, and how few of us, James, appreciate the Pilgrims, those wonderful people who inaugurated Thanksgiving. To say nothing of the custom of bundling.
Bundling, Junior? And whatever might that be?
Well, bundling is a custom whereby two Pilgrims would nestle close together to keep warm.
How do you like that? Every time I've been in that Paramount balcony, I've been surrounded by Pilgrims and I didn't know it. But, Junior, Thanksgiving is an unhappy time of the year for me.
Oh?
It reminds me of my first girlfriend, Brenda Minestrone.
Jim, this is a side of your life I didn't know about. Were you serious for this girl, Brenda Minestrone?
As serious as two people can be. We even considered matrimony, but her parents objected. So one night we decided to elope. But halfway down the ladder, her father caught me.
He caught you on the ladder? Well, gee whiz, Jim, what did you do?
What could I do? I painted the side of the house.
Hey, look, Jim, you know, I'll bet you're having real girl trouble now with that handsome Alan Young on your camel show.
Oh, I don't know. When it comes to sashaying the femmes, I can compete with them any time.
Oh, cut it out. Jimmy, Alan Young has kissed girls that wouldn't even look at you.
So what? I've kissed girls that wouldn't look at me either. But enough of this, Fowler Al Jr. It's time for us to go to work and entertain the people. What have you cooked up for us this year?
Well, James, this year I'm answering a little request of my own. I'm sure the folks out there would enjoy hearing you do, in its entirety, your famous composition, Ink-a-Dink-a-Doo.
A flattering request, Mr. Moore. I shall comply with alacrity. Mr. Armbuster, a fanfare, if you please. Ladies and gentlemen, in this number, I shall accompany myself at the piano. No applause, please. No applause. And I'm also hoping that this year Mr. Moore will not attempt to accompany me on the drum. Wait a minute. Mr. Moore, You may be take it or leave it, but please leave it. I can't take it. But, where's my place? But, now we shall continue halfway. That's what I always do when I miss it. But, now we shall continue halfway between the pitcher and the cutter. Now, once upon a time, they sang the Bo-dee-o-do.
Bo-dee-o-do.
But that was long ago.
Oh, long ago, my darling.
Mr. Moore, would you mind turning your head the other way? You're throwing my piano out of tune.
Look who's talking. Is there any truth to the rumor, James, that before every performance you gargle with Chanel's Drano number 5?
It's an outright slander. I use nothing but Gorgeous George number 6. But let's continue. Then everybody started in to boop boop a doop. They got tired of that, you know. Broop bleep. I'll give you $50 if you show me broop bleep in the music. Show me broop bleep in the music.
There it is, broop bleep.
Show me broop bleep in the music.
Broop bleep is right now.
Where?
It says right now in the music. Broop bleep.
Too bad I can't read. Stand by for the chorus, Mr. Armbuster. But the tune for you and me is that swinging symphony they call it. A-dink-a-dee, a-dink-a-doo, a-dink-a-dee. Oh, what a tune for crooning. A-dink-a-dee, a-dink-a-doo, a-dink-a-dee. It's got the whole...
Wait a minute. Telephone, Jim. I'll get it. I'll get the telephone. Hello? Hello, what? You say you've been listening to Mr. Durante sing on your radio?
No.
Well, I'll certainly tell him that. Goodbye.
Junior, who is that calling?
Princess Elizabeth. She says you have just curdled the baby's milk.
You know, I've made an international poufah. But nevertheless, Mr. Armblister, we shall carry on con moto patrillo. Eskimo bells up in Iceland are ringing. They've made their own paradise land, singing. Ink, a dink a dee, a dink a doo. A dink a dee simply means ink, a dink a dee.
Oh, Mr. Randy, your voice thrills me so. You're so wonderful, you're just wonderful, and I love your voice.
I can't help it, Gary. Sinatra appeals to the Bobby Sockers, but somebody's got to take care of the corset crowd.
You know, Jim, to be honest with you, I agree with that girl. Your voice combines all the mellifluous attributes of cathedral chimes in the quiet noon of a winter's day. And in comparison, I feel that you are far superior to Lawrence Melchior, Lawrence Tibbet, and John Charles Thompson.
How do you like that? Thanksgiving isn't even over, and already this boy is angling for his Christmas present. But I shall ignore him and continue. Eskimo bells up in Iceland are ringing. They've made their own paradise land, singing. Ink, a dink a dee, a dink a doo, a dink a dee.
Wait a minute.
Keep laughing, folks. I lost my music. I wish you could see Mr. Moore, folks. I got his head right in the piano. Mr. Moore, if I was you, I'd pick up your bass drum and beat it.
Jimmy, look, I hate to interrupt, but it didn't make any difference. A messenger just came in from the sponsor, Mr. Elgin. He's been listening to us out there in Elgin, Illinois.
A messenger from the sponsor? Well, don't just stand there, messenger. What does the sponsor have to say about our performance?
I'm feeling mighty low.
The final humiliation. Let's go home, Mr. Moore.
Go home, Mr. Durante.
Ink, a dink a dee, a dink a doo, a dink a dee simply means ink, a dink a dee, a dink a doo.
Thank you, Jimmy Durante and Gary Moore. Now, here's another friend of yours who's always around on Thanksgiving, Ken Carpenter.
Starring in the Velvet Touch, independent artist's picture released by RKO Radio, is the lovely Rosalind Russell. Miss Russell is noted for her good taste in clothes and accessories. In fact, she's been voted one of the best-dressed women in America. So when Rosalind Russell exclaims over the beauty of Elgin watches, that's style news. Miss Russell commented enthusiastically, "Brilliant styling is only half their glory." What she referred to, of course, is Elgin's amazing mainspring that's made of a wholly new alloy of metals. Elgin's exclusive DuraPower mainspring.
The DuraPower mainspring eliminates 99% of all repairs due to steel mainspring failures.
Rosalind Russell is only one of many Hollywood favorites who admires Elgin watches. Robert Montgomery, co-starring in the picture The Saxon Charm, said, "The new Elgin? Oh, handsome, yes, but that new mainspring makes history."
The DuraPower mainspring eliminates 99% of all repairs due to steel mainspring failures.
Gertrude Lawrence was another thrilled by their beauty. When this idol of theatergoers was told of the DuraPower mainspring, she exclaimed, "That I would surely want in a Christmas watch." And an interesting comment came from Mrs. Lawrence Tibbett, the charming wife of the famous Metropolitan Opera star and one of America's best-dressed women. When she saw the beautiful new Elgin watches and learned of their DuraPower mainspring, Mrs. Tibbett said, "Ah, tell that inside story to every Santa Claus." And that's exactly what Elgin's doing right now.
The DuraPower mainspring eliminates 99% of all repairs due to steel mainspring failures.
So be sure to see the stunning new Lord and Lady Elgin watches at your jeweler's. The only watches in the world with this amazing assurance of dependability and continuing accuracy. Watches that have won the admiration of men and women most particular about style. Just as surely as Christmas is on the way, you or someone you love will be happier with an Elgin watch.
Laughter and song are as traditional a part of Thanksgiving as, well, the Elgin Watch Company's 2 Hours of Stars. And when Elgin was preparing its guest list, it was only natural when it came to songs that they should think of four boys who've been burnishing ballads so long and so artfully that they've become a show business fixture. They played a command performance for the King and Queen of England. They've sung in Europe and Australia. But they couldn't be more welcome anywhere than they are right here this Thanksgiving Day. The Mills Brothers.
Confess, why don't you confess, why don't you reveal to me the way that you feel? Confess, it isn't a crime to open your heart to me and say that you're mine. How long must I keep waiting for a tender word from you? The sweetest rose starts fading when the sunshine won't come through. Confess, please don't make me guess. If you really care for me, then darling, confess. Confess, 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 why don't you confess?
Why don't you reveal to me for the way that you feel?
The little. Confess, confess, it isn't a crime
to open your heart to me and say that you're mine.
How long must I keep waiting for a tender word from you? The sweetest rose starts fading when the sunshine won't come through. Confess, please don't make me guess.
If you really care for me,
then darling, confess.
Wonderful. We'll be looking forward to your encore. You know, I've been on hand for the Elgin Watch Company's 2 hour stars now for 6 out of its 7 years. And yet every time Thanksgiving Day comes around, I get the same old thrill of anticipation. To me, it always recalls boyhood days back in Kenosha, Wisconsin. The air was filled with a sharp, sweet scent of wood smoke. The first soft falling snow seemed to wrap the land in still enchantment. And you could hear the wind softly calling.
Yo-ho, Mr. Mickey!
Miss Vera Vay! Ah, Miss Vay, back to celebrate Thanksgiving with me just like a pilgrim.
Yes, but I'm still not making any progress.
Oh, I don't know, Miss Vay. Last night I dreamed about you.
You did?
Uh-huh.
Oh, if there's anything I admire, it's a man who lives dangerously. Tell me all about it.
Well, I dreamed we were sitting together in front of a fire, and you moved closer and closer toward me as the flames mounted higher and higher. And then suddenly the fire flickered out, and I woke up.
Well, throw another log on the fire and let's start over. Why did you have to wake up at that moment?
Oh, just lucky, I guess. After all, Miss Vague, I'm what you call the Latin type, so I really prefer the Latin type of woman. Fiery, vivacious, with red blood in her veins.
What do you think I have in mind, tomato juice? Sometimes I think I'm the Chinese type, though.
The Chinese type?
Yes, so many men tell me to take a slow boat to China.
Now, Miss Vague, you haven't changed a bit. You're just the same as ever. Utterly and completely, shall we put it, charming?
Yes, let's put it there, and don't you dare move it. But you know, Mr. Beakley, I really have changed. Yes, I have. I've become a patron of the arts. From now on, Mr. Amici, I'm devoting myself to music.
Oh, you love music?
No, just musicians. At last. I don't mind telling you, Mr. Amici, that I'm looking for some likely young prospect to take under my wing right now.
Oh, really, Miss Vay? Yes. Well, then I'm sure you'll want to meet the young man whose album, Previn Plays the Piano, is at the top of the bestseller list. May I present Andre Previn.
Mr. Amici, he's just a boy. I'm observing, of course, not complaining. How old are you, dear?
19.
Andre started playing the piano when he was 5. Back in Germany, he was regarded as a boy wonder.
Oh, really? You know, when I was a girl, I used to wonder what I was, too. I wished when I was a child I had the chance to play the piano.
Oh, I wouldn't feel too bad, Miss Vague. After all, when you were a girl, they didn't have pianos.
Oh, Mr. Amici. Oh, bless every little white bristle in your mustache.
Well, I think you'd make an excellent pianist, Miss Vague. I couldn't help noticing the shape of your hands. Yes, yes. They're so long and tapering. How did your fingers get so strong and yet so soft and pliant?
Well, I'm on the night shift at the dairy farm.
Of course you know, Miss Vague. Andre's not only a pianist, he's also a composer-conductor and works for Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, the producers of Hills of Home, starring Lassie, Edmund Gwenn, and Donald Crisp.
That's right. I'm composing a song for Lassie.
Oh, is that so? What are you calling it? Come to Me, My Melancholy? Interested in the classics, aren't you, Mr. Feather?
Yes, you really haven't lived, Miss Vague, until you've had a taste of Beethoven's Fifth.
My goodness, a boy his age drinking hard liquor. My goodness, a boy his age drinking hard liquor.
Miss Vague, Beethoven is one of the great masters.
Well, yes, of course. What am I thinking of? For a moment, his name slipped my mind.
Well, it's easy to slip up there. That's a pretty wet neighborhood.
Oh, that's very funny, Mr. Amici. Very funny. Mr. Amici, has Tarzan heard about those tusks you use for teeth? Let's not you and I quarrel. I'm really fond of you, Mr. Amici. And I want you to know that I am familiar with the masters.
You are?
Yes, I mastered Mozart. I've dug into Schumann. And right now I'm going into Haydn.
Yes, do that, Miss Vay. That's a wonderful idea. And while you go into Haydn, suppose Andre Previn makes himself comfortable at the Baldwin and slips into his own treatment of Lover. Andre Previn. They say imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Bob Hopkins' imitations are not only flattering, they're highly authentic. You know, I've often thought it must be quite a strain to be the wife of an imitator like Bob. She never knows whether she'll be having breakfast with Charlie McCarthy, Bing Crosby, the great Gildersleeve.
Well, I'll see here, Donnie. You know, I'm always happy to have breakfast with any little lady, Don. Of course, I don't want to get in any trouble around here. Well, bless my soul, if it isn't you, Herbert.
Hugh Herbert, where?
Oh, where? Where is he? Where is he? Oh, right here. Woo!
Well, you seem to be enjoying yourself, Hugh.
Woo! Oh, I'm having a terrible time. Can't stay around. Very busy. I promised to meet Frank Morgan.
Oh, Frank can wait?
Wow, my goodness sakes, Don. Well, I've been waiting around all day.
Really, Frank? What have you been waiting for?
Oh, well, I want to get some of that goose we were having for dinner.
Yeah, but Frank, this is Thanksgiving. What makes you so sure you're having goose?
Well, you see, I was out all last night celebrating, and unfortunately, I forgot to invite my wife. When I got home this morning, the maid greeted me at the door, and she says, Oh, Mr. Morgan, is your goose cooked? Oh, yeah.
And was it?
Well, I didn't say to find out. You see, my wife has a surplus of good qualities. When she gets excited, she's amazingly short on poise.
Well, why is that?
Well, short poise for station identification.
Yes, and the Elton Watch Company will continue 2 hours of Stars right after a short poise for station identification.
Oh, Ken, this is too much.
Oh, no, this is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company. Oh, yes.
Of Stars, the Elgin Watch Company's 7th annual 2-hour Thanksgiving Day greeting to the nation continues with Don Ameche, Jack Benny, Francis Langford, Vera Veig, Mario Lanza, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, Red Skelton, the Bickersons, the Mills Brothers, Andre Previn, and the Elgin Orchestra and Chorus under the direction of Robert Armbruster. And here again is your host, Don Ameche. It's with good reason that America gives thanks today. Thanks not only for our fields and farms, our forests and fisheries, but for the native ability and creative genius of our scientists, our artists, those who make the clothes we wear and the food we eat. And let's not forget the American housewife. She it was who had to plan today's dinner, to worry about the budget, to shop wisely and save a few pennies here and there. It is in her honor that the Elgin Watch Company and the Elgin Jewelers now present a guest who is intimately familiar with the problems of the housewife, and knows from first-hand experience her bitter struggle to keep her table nutritious and plentiful in the face of rising prices. I refer to Mr. Jack Benny. About 3 days ago, I was in my car driving down Sunset Boulevard when I noticed a hitchhiker standing on the corner. He was waving his thumb at me.
Hey, mister. Hey, mister, how about a lift? Going downtown, mister?
Get off of my running board, you bum, before I call...
Why, it's Jack Benny.
Yes, I... Oh, Don Ameche.
Oh.
Gee, I'm glad you drove by, Don. Can I ride down a few blocks with you?
Oh, certainly, Jack. Glad to have you.
It's a great help, Don. I'm doing my Thanksgiving shopping for a turkey, and it's hard to get around without a car, you know.
Without a car? What happened to yours?
Well, it's in the shop. I had a terrible accident, you know. Some young kid crashed into me from behind and crumpled up the whole back of my car.
Oh, must have hit you pretty hard. What was he driving?
A bicycle. But it was one of those three-wheelers, and they're heavy, you know. Lucky nobody was hurt. Whoops! Watch it, Don. You came awfully close to that truck.
Why, you're not nervous, are you, Jack?
Well, no, but... Don, is it all right if I get off this running board and sit inside? I'd feel a lot safer.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jack. I should have suggested it sooner. Come on, hop in. Where do you want me to drop you off, Jack?
Oh, down here a few blocks. You know that swanky market where all the movie stars shop? I think it's called the Ritz.
Oh, of course I know. The place is very expensive.
Well, I do my shopping just around the corner from there. It's called Max's Thrifty Low Price Cut Rate Market. It's three flights up there.
How did you ever find a place like that?
Well, there's an old clothes dealer in the same building, and every now and then I pick up a bargain. You can stop at this corner, Don.
Well, here you are, Jack.
Oh, darn it, I ripped my sleeve. There's luck for you. Adolph Manju wore this suit for 10 years. Nothing ever happened to him. Well, thanks a lot, Don.
You're welcome, Jack.
Oh, by the way, Don, I'll be finished with my shopping in 20 minutes, so if you're coming back this way, I won't have to call for a taxi. No, it takes so long to get one.
Well, I'm sorry, Jack, but I won't be coming back for at least 3 hours.
Oh, good. Then I'll wait for you. I'll see you later, Don.
So long, Jack.
Well, I'd better hurry upstairs before the turkeys are all sold out. Well, this is the second floor. There's a new dentist here where the plumber used to be. Same office.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Would you care to have any teeth pulled?
No, no, thank you.
Any leaks fixed?
No. No, no, I'm just going upstairs to the market. So. Well, this is the third floor. Gee, there's a taxidermist here now. H.G. Smith, taxidermist.
Good morning, sir.
Oh, good morning.
Have you any birds, reptiles, or animals that you'd care to have preserved?
No, no, thank you. I'm just going upstairs to the market. I'm getting my Thanksgiving turkey.
Well, bring it down. We'll stuff it for you.
No, no, I'll stuff it myself. I just want it to look good for a couple of days, you know. Phew. Stairs are steep. Well, I guess the man loses some of his pep when he's nearing 40. Well, here's another floor. Gee, a lot of new people have moved in here. Meredith Grimes, mortician.
Good morning, sir. Would you like...
Keep your bony hands off of me. I'm going upstairs to get a turkey. Well, let's see. I'll need a vegetable to go with the turkey. Maybe I'll get a can of peas. But I won't get the Tiger brand this time. They're... only 327 peas to the can. Every other brand has 334. Acme only has 330, but they're the giant size. Well, at last. The poultry department looks pretty crowded. I better get in here before there's nothing left.
Hello, Mr. Benny Boy.
Well, hello, Mr. Kitzel. What are you doing here?
I'm doing my Thanksgiving shopping. Did I just buy a turkey?
Oh, did you get a real big one?
Well, who do you think this is standing next to me? My wife?
I'm sorry, that comb had me fooled there. Say, what is a good-sized turkey. How are you going to stuff it?
Well, I'll put in some herring, some matzo balls, chopped liver, a couple of bagels, and I'll cover the whole thing with sour cream.
Well, Mr. Kitzel, won't that spoil the turkey?
Who eats the turkey?
Oh, then why did you buy it?
Mr. Benny, what's Thanksgiving without a turkey?
Oh, no, I see. Well, I'm going to do my shopping now. Goodbye, Mr. Kitzel, and a happy Thanksgiving.
The feeling is identical.
Thank you. Well, I might as well go in and get it over with.
Hey, Sam, look who just came in here.
Oh, no, you take him, Joe. I had him last time. He bought a half a pound of round steak and followed it all the way through the grinder. If I hadn't pulled his nose out in time, it would have been a pound.
Yeah, I know. I sold him a beef heart the other day, and the way he cried when I trimmed it, you'd think it was his own.
Yeah. I tell you, that guy Benny watches every move you make. Last week, I was waiting on Mrs. Watson, and he made me so nervous, I gave her the right change.
Hello, Sam. Hi, Joe. I'd like to look at a nice turkey.
Well, there they are hanging up. Look at them.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that third one from the end is cute. She has nice legs.
That's a tom.
Oh. Well, what are you getting for them?
Huh? Well, the Washington turkeys are 90 cents a pound, the Oregon turkeys are 80 cents a pound, and the California turkeys are 70 cents.
Mm-hmm. Have you got anything a little further south? For about 60 or 40 cents. Have you got any Mexican turkeys?
A Mexican turkey? Wait a minute, how's this?
How much is it?
60 centavos a pound.
Centavos?
Si, senor.
Now cut that out!
Look, I want a nice plump one, about 6 pounds.
6 pounds?
Listen, Benny, I don't know where you got your information, but the only way you can get a 6-pound turkey is to hatch the egg and kill it as it steps out of the shell. Well, then get the smallest one you have and let me see what it weighs.
Okay. Here's a scrawny one. There. That weighs...
Wait a minute. Take that heavy brown paper off the scale. You think you got a sucker here? What are you trying to pull?
I'm not trying to pull anything. That paper is just to keep the scale clean.
Well, keep it clean at your own expense. Take your big fat thumb off of there, too. That's better.
Well, that's a little over 7 pounds. That'll be 4:30.
I'll take it. You better clean it for me.
I suppose you want the feet.
Yes, I use them for back scratchers. They really dig in, you know. Hey, wait a minute. Don't throw that head away.
You want the head?
Certainly, I'm paying for it.
Now I've heard everything. What can you possibly want with a turkey head?
Well, if it's any of your business, I have a badminton court, and it makes a very good shuttlecock. I want the heart, the liver, and the gizzard, too.
Well, this is going to be a shock to you, Benny, but we threw away the feathers.
Well, don't be funny. Now wrap it up, and here's your money. Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute, I'm missing a dollar. It's gone. I must have dropped it. A dollar. It's got to be here somewhere. I had it when I came in.
Now, take it easy. You'll find it.
Oh, here's something. That's a dollar bill.
That's it. Give me it.
Just a second. How do we know this is your dollar bill? It was lying on the floor behind the counter.
It's my dollar, I tell you. I can prove it. The serial number is E66259-3471E, series 1935C. Now, give me my turkey. Let me get out of here. Hey, Don. Oh, Don Amici. Hello, Don.
Jack, are you still here?
Sure, I've been waiting for you. You said you'd be back, you know.
But I was delayed. I thought sure you'd take a taxi home. How long have you been waiting?
Since 10:30 this morning.
But, Jack, it's after midnight.
It is?
Yes. Gosh, you must have been lonesome.
No, I had the turkey with me. We didn't.
Well, hop in. I'll drive you home.
Well, thanks.
Well, did you get a nice turkey, Jack?
Oh, a beauty. It's imported, you know. It comes from Mexico. And they're the very best.
A Mexican turkey?
Yes. Instead of chestnuts, you stuff it with chili con carne. It's very tasty.
Say, how come you know so much about turkeys?
What? What'd you say, Don?
I said, how come you know so much about turkeys?
Did you ever see The Horn Blows at Midnight? Drive on, Mr. Amici. Drive on.
Certainly has his little difficulties, Doc.
Say, isn't that Jack's telephone operator, Mabel Flapsaddle, walking in?
Yeah, she's another one of his little difficulties. Let's get out of here before she chews our ear off.
Oh, Mr. Amici, Mr. Carpenter. Well, maybe that gentleman sweeping up the stage can help me. Hey, you with the broom.
Yeah?
I thought you might be able to help me. I saw you standing there with that broom.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm not giving any rides today. And what happened to your own broom? Did you lose it, Halloween?
Oh, don't be silly. I want to buy a Lady Elgin watch, and I thought you could tell me where I could find the nearest jeweler. You know, all over America, intelligent women are wearing Elgins.
Then I have just the thing for you.
An Elgin?
No, a schmoo.
A schmoo?
Yes. You'd be amazed the way the schmoo watches catch attention. When people see you wearing one on the street, they'll come up and say, what is it?
They do that now, and I'm not even wearing one.
I suppose you've heard of its wonderful new features. 4 push buttons, a pedometer, a built-in radio, and it lights up at night.
I wear a schmoo, and everywhere I go, I glow.
Yeah, well, if you ask me, it just blew a fuse. I don't want a schmoo. I want a Lady Elgin with one of those new rust-proof DuraPower mainsprings. They eliminate 99% of repairs due to steel mainspring failures.
Yeah, but my dear madam...
I happen to be a miss.
You certainly are. As I was about to say, the new schmoo even contains a compass. Have you ever boxed a compass?
No, but I've wrestled at the Palladium. I'm a regular DuraPower mainspring the way I hold my springiness.
Yes, but with a schmoo, you can tell what time it is in the Sandwich Islands, Anchor Bat, and Do or Diddy. There's a dial for everything.
Well, how do you tell what time it is here?
Dial the telephone company.
Well, you might as well give up right now, old man. Miss Flapsaddle. Miss Flapsaddle is like thousands of other smart holiday shoppers. She knows it's appearance and timekeeping performance that counts in a watch. When you buy an Elgin, you're getting the smartest in styling and the last word in accuracy.
Oh, you're so right. Confidentially, I hate the new schmooze. That's why I've been trying to sell one to Miss Flapsaddle.
I don't understand. If you hate them, what about the one you're wearing?
That's the one I've been trying to sell Miss Flapsaddle. Oh, I'm a devil, aren't I? Goodbye.
Thank you, Sarah Berner and Frank Nelson. Longfellow wrote, "Music is the universal language of mankind." And here is a girl who really speaks that language. A familiar face to GIs all over the world during the war years, and a familiar voice to all of us, lovely Frances Langford.
It was just one of those things, just one of those crazy flings, one of those bells that now and then ring, just one of those things. Just one of those nights, just one of those fabulous flights, a trip to the moon on gossamer wings, just one of those things. If we'd thought a bit of the end of it when we started painting the town, we'd have been aware that our love affair was too hot not to cool down. So goodbye, dear, and amen. Here's hoping we meet now and then. It was great fun, but it was just one of those things.
It was just one of those things.
Started painting the town, we'd have been aware that our love affair was too hot not to cool down. So goodbye, dear, and amen. Here's hoping we meet now and then. It was great fun, but it was just fun, just one of those
Hey, Miss Vague, now that you've become a patron of music, how would you like to take Frances Langford under your wing? I think she's far and away one of the country's best singers.
That's just where I like her best, far and away.
Well, Miss Vague, do I detect a note of jealousy creeping into your voice? Is that green-eyed monster coming into view again?
Yes, she is, and you can blame the Elgin Watch Company. They invited her here.
Miss Vague, how nice to see you again.
Yes, yes.
I hope I'm not intruding.
Oh, no, of course not, dear. But right in.
We were just talking about your voice, Frances. I'm always amazed that so many beautiful notes can come out of that mouth.
No, I'm not. There's room in there for Fred Waring and his choir. No offense, dear. Just a little joke, you know.
Oh, that's quite all right. You're all gussied up this afternoon, Miss Vague. Is that a new dress?
No, this thing, no. It's just something I reached in and grabbed out of the closet.
Oh, you poor thing. You got them off bag, didn't you?
Oh, you're so clever, darling.
You know, I do admire your little sallies. You have so much poise and personality.
Really, Miss May?
Yes, that's you. Poise and personality.
Oh, girls, girls. Well, please, sorry. Now, Miss Begg, not in front of Mario Lanza.
You mean the handsome opera singer?
Yes, I was waiting for the wind to die down so I could introduce him to you. Miss Begg, marry Olanza.
I do. I mean, how do you do? For a moment, I thought I was on the bride and groom program. I understand that Mr. Lanza's had a very interesting career.
Oh, yes. Mario is just a GI visiting Hollywood when he was invited to a party given by some stars. He made such a hit singing, it led to his debut in Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, well, I shouldn't wonder, Mr. Lanza. The moment I heard you, I got goose pimples. Now, I'd like to take you under my wing.
Now, I've got goose pimples.
Tell me, Mr. Lanza, how in the world do you get those exquisite pear-shaped toes?
Well, it's very simple, Miss Vague. I have what is known as an elliptical esophagus.
Oh, you poor boy, could I get you a pillow? You must have just worn yourself out studying before you arrived in Hollywood, didn't you?
No, I really didn't study at all. I picked up everything myself.
Oh, I see. I don't suppose you're in the mood to pick anything up today. Mr. Lanza, I don't mind telling you that I'm a patron of the arts. I discovered Lawrence Melchior and Arturo Toscanini.
Well, you're a little late with Mario, Miss Vague. MGM's already signed him to a 7-year contract. They even got him to lose weight. Oh. Used to weigh 270 pounds.
Yes, I lost 100 pounds. There's hardly anything left of me.
Well, I'm glad you kept the best part. Lanza, I'm quite a student of the opera myself, you know.
Oh, really? Well, how do you like Puccini and Verdi?
Oh, love it. Love it. Of course, I really prefer Raviola and Simone.
Miss Vague, Puccini and Verdi are composers of the opera.
Yes. Oh. You know, a few weeks ago, I went to see Il Trovatore.
Oh, really? What hospital is he in?
Miss Vague, Il Trovatore is not a man named Trovatore who is ill.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear he's feeling better. You know, opera can be so upsetting. The night I went to see Siegfried, I went home and dreamed the dragon that attacked Siegfried was squeezing the breath out of me.
What do you suppose that meant?
It means I'll have to stop sleeping with my girdle on. Shame on me. You know, I'm seriously considering putting on my own opera, Mr. Amici. I went to the heads of the Metropolitan, and I think they're going to let me use the magic flute.
The Metropolitan is going to let you use the magic flute? Yes. What makes you think so?
Well, they told me to blow.
And did you?
Yes, I did.
Well, here's your chance to do it again, Miss Vague. While Mario goes ahead with that encore, Elgin has promised I'll listen. From Puccini's Tosca, here's the thrilling aria, E Lucevan le Stelle, sung by Mario Lanza.
La terra stride all'uscio dell'orto e un passo sfiorava l'arena entrava ella fragrante fra le braccia sempre il sogno mio
this afternoon, a scene like this may take place in your home. Dinner is over, a wonderful dinner that Mother prepared, and she, bless her heart, is impatient to get the dishes done so that, as she puts it, so we can talk.
Come on, son. Let's get at these dishes. What happened to Mary? Where's Dad?
Oh, Mary and Dad have disappeared upstairs for a very important conference.
Whatever's on your mind, Dad, here's the place to discuss it. My old room, where I used to tell you all my problems. Remember when I thought the Roberts boy had broken my heart?
Yes, I recall that sad experience very vividly. But I didn't come up here to talk over broken hearts. You know, Mary, your mother and I have been married for 30 years. This will be our 30th Christmas together. And I want to give her something very special. For all the things she's done for all of us and... Well, you know what I mean, Mary.
Of course I do, Dad. And I have an idea for you. You know, Mother has never had a really good watch, Dad. The kind that a fellow would give his best girl.
Well, say, she's my best girl.
Sure, and this is the perfect present for her. A watch. A Lady Elgin watch. Dad, they're simply exquisite. The most beautiful watches I've ever seen. Oh, Mother will be thrilled with an Elgin. I saw some just yesterday when I was at the jeweler's looking for a gift for John.
Honey, you've hit it. The very thing. I'll go down to the jeweler's and pick out an Elgin watch. Come on now. Let's skip back downstairs before she gets suspicious that we're up to something.
Well, Mother, for any loved one, an Elgin will surely say what's in your heart. For Elgins are something extra special outside and in. You can see that they're the most beautiful watches ever to grace a wrist. But there's an inside story equally thrilling. An Elgin, and only an Elgin, is powered by a miracle mainspring. This DuraPower mainspring eliminates 99% of all repairs due to steel mainspring failures. It gives you a permanency of timekeeping performance never before possible in any watch. No name on the dial of a watch has brought so much Christmas joy as Elgin. Of Stars will continue after a short pause for station identification. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company. The Elgin Watch Company's 7th annual 2-hour Thanksgiving Day greeting to America, our hospitalized veterans and servicemen overseas and neighbors around the world continues with Don Ameche, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, Vera Vague, Red Skelton, Francis Langford, the Bickersons, the Mills Brothers, Andre Previn, Mario Lanza, and the Elgin Orchestra and Chorus under the direction of Robert Armbruster. And here again is your host for these 2 hours of stars, Don Ameche.
Once again, may I say to those of you who have just joined us, Happy Thanksgiving and welcome to 2 Hours of Stars. This is the 7th straight year the Elgin Watch Company and the Elgin Jewelers have invited your favorite stars to join us in our holiday open house. And each year it has been our custom to invite several young newcomers, stars of tomorrow, who we believe are worthy of inclusion on our guest list. Just such a newcomer is that tall, tanned, good-looking young fellow who's been attracting attention as the saner half of a nightclub combination known as Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. Elgin presents Dean Martin.
Everyone knows she's a ramblin' rose. She's a beauty grown wild. Birds in their nest seem to whistle her best. Mother Nature's favorite child. She's got the kind of affection that just winds around your heart. You better run for protection, or she might upset your flower cart. Hate to disclose that my ramblin' rose is gonna meet her Waterloo. I'll let her play, but she can't get away, 'cause I know just what to do. Anyone knows you can't train a rose to be a clinging vine. So from this day hence there'll be a picket fence round that ramblin' rose of mine. She's got the kind of affection that just winds around your heart. You better run for protection, or she might upset your flower cart. Hate to disclose that my ramblin' rose is gonna meet her Waterloo. I'll let her play, but she can't get away, 'cause I know just what to do. Anyone knows you can't train a rose to be a clinging vine. So from this day hence, there'll be a picket fence round that rambling rose of mine.
Ah, that is fine, Dean. And I can tell by Miss Vera Vague's expression that she agrees with me. What do you think of Miss Vague?
Oh, wonderful. Just wonderful. Oh, I have plenty to be thankful for this Thanksgiving Day.
You really like my singing, Miss Vague?
Oh, you mean you sing, too? Oh. Oh, yes, of course. In fact, I was surprised how much you sounded like Bing Crosby.
Well, Bing's always happy to give a boy a start.
Yes, he must be. He started four of them. You know, Mr. Martin, after looking at you closely, I'd say you were definitely a cross between Cary Grant.
Cary Grant and who else?
Well, who cares? Don't be a pig.
You're quite a study, Miss Vague.
Oh, yes, and I'd be glad to help you with your homework anytime. You know, Mr. Martin, I can assist you up the road to fame and fortune.
Thanks, Miss Vague, but Jerry Lewis is my partner. He's got to go up that road, too.
Well, if he looks anything like you, I'd be glad to carry him piggyback.
Well, here he is, Miss Vague, Jerry Lewis. Strange at first, Miss Vague, but he's really very clever. He and Dean were on Bob Hope's program Tuesday night, and Hal Wallace is starring them in the picture My Friend Irma.
Yes, I'm really lovely. You know, of course, they want me back at Slapsy Maxie.
If you ask me, Maxie slapped you once too often.
Oh, is that so? Well, I think it's only fair that you should give credit where credit is due, Miss Vague. It so happens I taught Dean Martin everything he knows.
What did you teach him, Jerry?
I got him a rat trap and taught him to catch rats the same way I do. I got a big yellow rat about 104 feet and a little pink eye he's got, and with a hand it hangs over the ear. It's the most beautiful thing.
Hold there. Jerry, you keep that up and I'll have to cut off your pablum.
Oh, no, no, Dean. You couldn't do that. Anything but that. Anything. You hear?
Sure, I'm here.
How do you like it here?
Mr. Lewis, you'd make a perfect mate for an idiot.
Thank you, but you'll have to ask my father.
I can't understand where you ever got such a partner, Mr. Martin. After all, you had Cary Grant's je ne sais quoi. You had Bing Crosby's joie de vivre.
Well, give him back to them. Do you want the cops after us?
You need someone with intelligence as a partner, Mr. Martin.
I do?
Yes, you do. And I've taken part in so many discussion groups. I can discuss everything.
Yeah, well, I can be just as disgusting as you can.
I don't mind telling you, young man, when men look at me, they think of Rita Hayworth.
When men look at you, they think of Rita Hayworth?
Yes.
Can you blame them?
Now, look, Jerky.
The Jerry.
Jerky.
See? It's written right here. J-E-R-K-Y. Jerry.
Martin, come here. Just look at all the famous partnerships of history. There was always a woman. There was Anthony and Cleopatra, Romeo and Juliet.
Martin and Lewis.
Yes, but you're a boy.
I am? How do you like that? My parents never told me nothing. Well, whatever I may be, Miss Vague, I want you to know you'll never be able to break us up. Dean and I will always stick together like glue.
Well, what makes you so sure?
I'll use glue.
Then just consider yourself stuck. I wouldn't help you in any shape or form.
With that shape and form, you need more help than we do.
Are you for real? I'd tell you to go soak your head if I had a pointed bucket handy.
Now, see what you did, Jerry? Miss Vague left covered with confusion.
So what? She looks better with a cover. You told me she was a slick chick. She's no slick chick.
What is she?
She's a plump wump. Look at the way she talked to me. Stop. Do you think I'm an imbecile?
So you're beginning to wonder, too, huh? Jerry, don't you realize the only way you can make an impression on people is by being debonair, sophisticated, and suave?
I don't want to be a debonair, sophisticated slob.
Jerry, the trouble with you is you're too sure of yourself. You're conceited.
Dean, you know that is not true. I used to be conceited, but I went to a psychiatrist and got myself cured. And now I'm one of the nicest guys I know.
You went to a psychiatrist?
Yes. He said I was the mousy type. So I showed him my rat. He got down on the floor at me and saw the little blue one that had the ear that hung over the eye. He had a busted claw. I didn't see the way he went.
Jerry, if you expect to be my partner, you've got to change entirely.
Bye.
Bye. Where are you going?
Up to the hotel to change entirely. I tried to be worthy of you, Dean. I went to the May Company and tried to get a job in the long underwear department, but all the man would say was, sorry, no opening for you.
I can't understand that, Jerry. I really think you've always been the epitome of perspicacity.
Oh, there you go, insulting me again. Well, all I can tell you is that I'm sick of it. Do you hear? Sick, sick, sick. Oh, you can laugh if you want to. Naturally, you think it's very puny. Funny. But it isn't. You see, you don't know the circumstances. It just so happens that I haven't been too well.
What's the matter with you? You got a cold?
Yes, you know how most show people are born in trunks.
Yeah?
I didn't have anything on at all. For myself when I object to your insults, Dean. I'm thinking of my sister. You don't know how my sister suffers.
If I were your brother, I wouldn't feel so good either. You know, I haven't been trying to insult you, Jerry. I'm your friend. We've been pals together, standing side by side, hand in hand.
You're right, Dean. When we walk hand in hand, the world becomes a wonderland. It's magic. You sigh, the song begins. You speak and I hear violins. It's magic. How else can I explain those rainbows when there is no rain? It's magic.
No, I'm serious, Jerry. You remember the time you got locked in our closet and you couldn't get out?
Yeah.
Who fed the goldfish for 3 weeks?
You did, my friend.
And when you disappeared and nobody heard from you, nobody knew where you were and nobody had the slightest idea where to locate you, who finally found you?
My draft board. If you really like me, Dean, you'll try and help me. You'll soothe me, and you'll hold my head.
Why, Jerry, of course I'll hold your head.
Thank you. I'll pick it up in the morning.
Jerry, you've got to get a grip on yourself. We're making a picture together. We're making records. Remember the record we made for Capitol?
No, but I remember the record I made catching rats. 191 at one time. This big black one crawled across my path, and I got him, see? And I grabbed up one of them,
and I said, come to me, my little motherfucker.
Well, you all right now?
Yeah, but my eyeball's busted.
Now, keep cool, and I'll help you remember the record. Remember, it starts...
Has she got naughty eyes? Yes, she has got naughty eyes.
that certain party. You know the one I mean, sure you know the one I mean, that certain party of mine. Naughty eyes, turn up nose, rosy cheeks and pretty clothes. Not a smarty. Has she got loving ways? Sure she has got loving ways. That certain party of mine.
Hey, Dean, you remember the old-time vaudeville around 1924?
I sure do.
With those corny jokes like, can you stand on your head?
No, it's too high.
Nothing. We'd better sing.
Has she got you know what? Yes, she has got you know what? That certain party. Has she got everything? Yes, she has got everything. That certain party of mine.
Hold up. Ah, you're singing in shorthand here. You're reading? That's better. Yes.
Can she make me a stripper? Yes, she can make me a stripper.
That's certain party.
Can she make happen supper? Yes, she can make happen supper.
That's certain party of mine. You know what? I forgot this and that and quite a lot. What a smarty. Yes, she has got everything. That certain party.
That certain party.
That certain party of mine.
Thank you, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. You know, Ken, we've been on the air nearly 2 hours now without giving away a thing. This is liable to undermine radio.
Yeah. Well, we don't want to be too revolutionary, Don. That's why, right now, as a goodwill gesture, we're going to give a brand new Elgin watch to the person in our audience holding the lucky number.
And the lucky number?
3,672. Will the person holding the number 3,672 please come forward? Number 3,672.
I'm 3,672.
Are you number 3,672 from our audience?
I ain't from San Quentin. See, I came here with my half-brother today.
Your half-brother?
Yeah, the stork got hungry.
Hey,
I'm happy to announce the boy that wrote that is no longer with us.
Ken, that's Red Skelton's character who's always causing trouble, Willie Lump Lump.
Ah, that's enough with the view of the teeth there. Get a load of that head. Every time he smiles, it looks like a crowded graveyard. I'm up here to answer some questions. Now, go ahead. Ask me something so I can mess you up.
But we're not going to ask any questions. We're going to give you an Elgin watch. No. Why do you want to mess me
up? Because I don't like radio. I don't like radio. I get sick of hearing those people asking silly questions or something flying around here, getting them. It's got meat in them. I don't like those people ask silly questions on the radio, and then they give silly answers. That's why I don't like radio. I want to get on and mess them up.
And did you?
Yeah, I did, boy. I went on People Are Funny, and I wasn't funny. I went on Ladies Be Seated, and just to be nasty, I stood up. I went on Bride and Groom and got a divorce.
Willie, that's stupid.
Oh, just a minute. I don't let anybody call me stupid unless they know me real well. Now, come on, give me a question so I can mess
you
up.
Well, Willie, I'm trying to tell you this is not a quiz program. We only want to present you with an Elgin watch.
Oh, no, you don't. You expect me to stand here while you tell me that Elgin watches are the smartest to wear and the smartest to buy?
But I don't.
You want to tell me about the Elgin DuraPow mainspring that never rusts, and its rust is the greatest cause of mainspring breaking?
But I only want to skip...
Wait till I finish, will you? You're going to tell me that Elgin's dual power mainspring eliminates 99% of all repairs due to steel mainspring failure.
No, that's not what I want to do. And...
Well, look, don't tell me you're just standing up here for nothing. It's a sense you ain't selling Tide. I know that.
No, Willie, I'm just trying to present you with a masterpiece of America's watchmaking genius, a Lord Elgin. It's all yours, Willie. Take it and wear it wherever you go.
Well, thanks a lot. Let's just show those people how wrong it can be.
What people?
Those people who have been going around saying that my mainspring's busted. I don't like waiting there.
We'll be hearing more from Red Skelton when the mean, witty kid joins 2 Hours of Stars a little while later. Meanwhile, Red, thanks for helping Ken sell those wonderful Elgin watches. But when it comes to selling a song, our thoughts naturally turn to Francis Langford.
Sister, I love my Mr. Man, and I can't tell you why. There ain't no reason why I should love that man. It must be something that the angels done planned. Fish gotta swim, birds gotta fly. I gotta love one man till I die. Can't help loving that man of mine. Tell me he's lazy, tell me he's slow. Tell me I'm crazy. Maybe I know, can't help loving that man of mine. When he goes away, that's a rainy day. But when he comes back, that day is fine. The sun will shine. He can come home as late as can be. Home without him ain't no home to me. Loving that man of mine.
Ah, that is wonderful, Francis. You know, it's like old times having you on Elgin's 2 Hours of Stars again. Last time was 3 years ago, wasn't it?
That's right, Don. Seems almost like that long since we last saw each other.
6 months. I remember distinctly. We're just completing a year on the air together as Mr. and Mrs. Bickerson. Probably the most strenuous relationship that ever existed between any married couple.
Yes, Don, but I think anything that holds a mirror up to people serves a purpose. When you hear a couple like the Bickersons squabbling about trivialities, it makes you realize how laughable your own little disagreements can be.
Well, then, Francis, and as much as this is something of a reunion for the two of us, suppose we take up where we left off and look in on the Bickersons on Thanksgiving.
And so, without any further ado, here are Don Ameche and Francis Langford as John and Blanche Bickerson in The Honeymoon is Over, written and directed by Phil Rapp. The Bickersons have retired. Mrs. Bickerson lies tense and anxious in the darkness, as poor husband John, victim of undulant insomnia, or blaster's reflex, reaches the crisis during an acute attack of his rare ailment.
Listen.
You can stop that snoring if you want to. I know you can. No other man snores like you.
How do you know?
I talk to my women friends. Their husbands are so quiet, they have to keep waking them to see if they're dead. What I wouldn't give to be able to sleep through the night just once. Not to hear that snarling and rasping and whining and roaring. Honest John, who else carries on like that?
Honest John.
If you're trying to be funny, John Bickerson, you're not amusing me.
I'm not trying to be funny, Blanche. I just want to sleep.
I deliberately went to bed 3 hours before you did, and you started puttering around in the kitchen. Anything to keep me awake.
I wasn't puttering. You asked me to fix the electric orange juicer, didn't you? Well, I fixed it.
How could you fix it? It needed a new motor.
I hooked it up to the vacuum cleaner.
Does it squeeze oranges?
Squeezes fine. Except it sucks up the juice and spits the pits in your face. I'll empty the bag in the morning.
I can just imagine the mess you left in that kitchen.
No mess.
Did you lock the porch door?
Mm.
Are the windows closed?
No.
Well, get up and close them.
What for?
It's cold outside.
If I close the windows, will it be warmer outside?
Do you want the canary to freeze to death?
He won't freeze.
A lot you'd care if he did. That you didn't even feed the poor little bird.
I fed him, I bathed him, I combed his hair and gave him clean sheets. Okay.
Did you feed the cat?
Fed the cat.
What'd you feed the cat?
The canary.
John!
Blanche, must you go through this questioning routine every night? Let me sleep, will you?
No. I don't see why I should. You never let me sleep.
Oh, dear heaven.
I constantly walk around in a daze, my eyes half closed. I swear sometimes I feel as though I'll shrivel into nothingness. Any minute I'll dry up.
You say it, but you won't do it.
Don't yell at me. You're giving me that dreadful pain again.
What pain?
Oh, nothing.
Are you sick again? What pain? What are you talking about?
It's my head. I've had it off and on for the last 3 weeks.
Well, take it off now and go to sleep.
You wouldn't be so unconcerned if Gloria Gooseby got sick.
Now, don't start with Gloria Gooseby.
She knows how to train a husband. Every time Gloria has a headache, Leo hugs her and kisses her and fawns over her. Why don't you do that?
Leo might get sore.
I mean, why don't you fuss over me?
Oh, listen, Blanche, you're not sick and you know it.
Well, I'm depressed. You're going out of town tomorrow and I'll be so lonesome I'll die.
I'm only going overnight. I'll be back on Saturday.
If you cared for me, you wouldn't leave me.
I'm not leaving you. I have to fly to San Francisco on business. I won't be gone over 24 hours.
Suppose a burglar breaks in the house and finds me.
It'll serve him right. Let me sleep, please, Blanche. I have to make an early plane.
Well, I won't sleep a wink all the time you're away. Are you going on a safe airplane?
There's no danger. Just go to sleep and don't worry.
I've got a headache. Get me an aspirin, please, John.
All right, I'll get you an aspirin. You can really cause more...
Oh! What happened?
Who tied my leg to the bedpost?
I did. I was afraid you'd start walking in your sleep again.
Well, is there any reason you should tie me to a bedpost? I never heard of such a thing. Put on the lights.
John, I thought you said that plane was safe.
It is safe.
And why are you wearing that parachute?
These are the shorts you gave me for my birthday. Lie still and I'll get you an aspirin.
I don't want it now. I've lost my headache.
It isn't lost, Blanche. Now I've got it. I should just go to sleep.
What's the use? So nervous, I won't be able to sleep.
Well, it's your own fault for letting every little thing excite you. You should take it easier, Blanche. When a woman reaches your age, she should slow down.
My age? I'm only 26.
I said slow down, not back up.
Keep it up, John. Keep insulting me and running away to San Francisco every day.
Every day.
Fine Thanksgiving, Mrs. Bin.
spent the whole day in the kitchen slaving over a holiday dinner, and you don't even appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
You do not. You never even touched the turkey I roasted.
Well, I didn't like the way it looked. What did you stuff it with?
Didn't stuff it with anything. It wasn't hollow.
How can any woman be...
Oh, hush up and go to sleep.
Go to sleep, she says. Torments me for 2 hours. Close the windows. Beat the cat. Stuff the canary. Now she tells me, go to sleep. Never sleep another wink. She says... Torments me for 2 hours. Close the windows. Beat the cat. Stop the canary. Now, she tells me, go to sleep. Never sleep another wink as long.
John.
Yeah.
The telephone. Answer it.
Hello.
Go to the phone and answer it.
Oh. Every night the phone. I wish the darn thing had never been invented.
Look who's talking.
I'm still tied to the bedpost. Answer that phone while I get loose.
All right. Hello?
Mr. Bickerson, please. This is the airline.
Oh, just a minute. Here, John. It's the airline.
Airline? Hello?
Mr. Bickerson, did you have a reservation on flight 501 to San Francisco at 4:35 a.m.?
No, I'm leaving on the 710.
Yes, well, the 710 is still in Kansas City and won't take off until 12:15. However, the 12:15, which usually leaves at 8:30, is late, and that flight's been switched to 3:30 a.m.
Well, is that the only plane?
Yes.
I'll be right down.
You're too late, Mr. Bickerson. The 3:30 left at 2 o'clock. Good night.
I never heard of such a thing.
You angry, John?
No, I'm not angry. I'm just sleepy. Good night.
I'm glad the trip is canceled. John.
Yeah.
Are you sure you love me?
Yes, I'm sure.
How much do you love me?
How much do you need?
Need anything.
Then what have you done?
Sit up, John. I bought a mink coat.
A mink coat? How much was it?
Lie down, John.
Blanche, how dare you go out and spend money on a mink coat? We can't afford a mink coat.
Don't scream at me.
Blanche, how can you squander my money like that? I deny myself everything. I've been sewing collars on your old bloomers and wearing them for shirts. I've been setting fire to my hair to save on barber bills. I can't even afford to buy a pair of pants. I wear a long jacket and walk on my knees. I never spend a penny on myself.
You bought a cowhide belt last week.
What belt? That was my lunch. That's a strip of beef jerky, and I've been gnawing on it all week. Where is that coat? Let me see it.
Oh, you'll love it, John. It's not nearly as expensive as you think, either. Only
$1,200. $1,200?
Here. Isn't it gorgeous?
Well, take it out of that burlap bag.
Isn't in any bag. That's the coat.
What kind of a mink coat is that? It hasn't got any fur on it.
That's the latest style, silly. Bald mink.
Bald mink? You take that coat back, you hear me? I'm not putting out $1,200 for any bald-headed minks.
John. How can you be so cruel?
Take it back.
Please, John.
No.
Please, John. It's Thanksgiving.
Blanche, I tell you, I can't afford it.
I'll go to work and pay for it.
You out of your mind? I wouldn't let you go to work. Keep the coat, Blanche.
You're the most wonderful and generous husband in the world.
I know it.
I'd like to do something nice for you too, John.
Don't bother.
Remember how you used to kiss me goodnight and let me tuck you in bed like a baby every night?
Go to sleep, Blanche.
John, would you mind if I just tucked you in bed tonight?
Okay, tuck me in bed.
All right, dear. I'll lift your head so I can straighten the pillow. Stretch your feet out. Now, let me get these covers under. There. All tucked in.
Thanks.
Are you comfortable?
Perfectly.
Are you sure?
Never felt more comfortable in my life.
Fine. Now, you get up and tuck me in.
Good night, Blanche.
Good night, John.
Well, Francis, many thanks for joining us.
All right, smart guy. Never mind the fancy chatter. Now, up against the wall. I'm putting you out of the way for a while.
All right, I won't argue with Humphrey Bogart. Or should I say Bob Hopkins?
Never mind saying anything. If there's any talking to be done around here, Sidney Greenstreet is here to talk to the whole lot of you. All right, Sidney, tell him what's on your mind. Spill it.
Yes, of course, my boy. I'm very happy indeed. Very happy indeed to say that I've never had the privilege of meeting Paul
What did he say?
He said the Elgin Watch Company will continue 2 hours of stars right after a short pause for station identification.
Well, then this isn't a sticker.
Oh, no. No, of course not, my boy. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Elgin Watch Company's 7th annual 2-hour Thanksgiving Day greeting to the nation continues with Don Ameche, the Mills Brothers, Red Skelton, Andre Previn, Vera Vague, Mario Lanza, and the Elgin Orchestra and Chorus under the direction of Robert Armbruster. And now back to your host for the 2 hours, Don Ameche.
You know, right around the time the Elgin Watch Company started its 2 hours of stars, the Mills Brothers recorded a tune that was destined to have GIs all the way from New Guinea to Nome, Alaska, jumping to the thump of the nearest shortwave radio. It was called Paper Doll. I know it was a favorite request wherever you go. How about doing it for us, huh, boys?
We'll be glad to, Don. We still have the same arrangement. But just for today, we brought the words a little more up to date.
I guess I had a million dolls or more. I guess I played that all game over and over.
Tell me more, tell me more.
I just quarreled with Sue, and that's why I'm blue. She's gone away and left me just like all dolls do. I'll tell you boys, it's tough to be alone. And it's tough to love a doll that's not your own. I'm through with all of them. I'll never fall again. Cause this is what I'll do. I'm gonna buy an Elgin watch that I can call my own. An Elgin is a pal that you can trust. It's got smart style and everything.
And a DuraPower mainspring that positively never, never will rust.
Its shape and face I'll always love to look at. No one can beat my time in all this world.
I'd rather have an Elgin watch to call my own
than have a big cold-minded real lager.
You're certainly right about one thing. Anyone would surely like to have an Elgin watch to call their own. In fact, more people want Elgins than any other watch. And the reasons are pretty clear. Thrilling beauty acclaimed by America's best-dressed men and women. And that amazing DuraPower mainspring found in no other watch in the world. It eliminates 99% of all repairs due to steel mainspring failures. Keep these facts in mind when you're Christmas shopping for that extra special someone's gift. Stop in at your jeweler. Something from your jeweler's, you know, is always something special, and see the brilliantly styled new Elgins. Elgins with a DuraPower mainspring.
As the sun sinks lower in the sky and the wind spins the leaves dizzily about in the streets and the yard outside, most of you at this moment are probably relaxing in the warm, quiet comfort of your easy chair. For this, in homes throughout the country, is a day of peace and quiet. Except in the home of the mean, witty kid. Elgin is proud to present one of the nation's favorite comedians, Red Skelton. This afternoon, Red brings us another page from the mean, witty kid's diary. With the help of his grandmother, Verna Felton, and his mother, Loreen Tuttle, we're about to put more light on a dim subject. Here is someone to make you grateful that he isn't yours, Junior, the mean, witty kid.
Mummy, Nemo! Mummy, Nemo! Where is everybody? Boy, this place is as deserted as Wallace's campaign headquarters. Well, I just finished what I started to do a while ago. Now, let's see. What else could I put in the basket for the old Indian? I got a turkey leg. You know, we're having turkey. You see, steak was so high this year, why, a butcher won't talk to you unless you show him your credit reference and pilot's license, you know.
Junior.
Uh-oh.
Is that you in the kitchen?
Uh-oh, here comes Namor, the vampire of the Mayflower. I better hide this loot. I'll hide it behind the curtain here. Now I'll hide the curtain. Geez, I can get it off my head. I can't see where I'm going. The curtain's on my head.
Junior!
What? Don't yell! You scared me, too!
Take that curtain off of your head. Oh, how did you hurt your head, dear?
I got a bump on my head. I was trying to see if I could walk around with my eyes closed, and I bump into myself.
Oh, now, how could you bump into yourself?
You remember the full-length mirror that used to be in the hall?
Oh, no. You didn't break that mirror. you're kidding me.
You keep laughing, kiddo, that's all. But when you stand in front of that mirror and both legs look like they're broken, don't get excited, you know.
Well, you'd better go and get cleaned up before the company gets here for Thanksgiving dinner.
Okay, I'll go get cleaned up. Hey, will you take me handcuffs off so I can wash me elbows, too?
Oh. Where on earth do you get such ideas?
In my spare time, I make notes, you know. I
Oh, Junior, look in your mother's room and see if she's finished taking her nap yet.
Okay, I'm going to look in Mommy's room. I hope Namo don't find that basket of food. If he does, me Thanksgiving Day will be ruined. Oh, well, worry won't help nothing. I'll peek in and see if my mummy's awake. Mummy, who's that in my mummy's bed? Look like a clown. She's got grease all over her face, and she's wearing a mask. Maybe it's the Lone Ranger's wife. Here, wake up, you. Wake up. Get out of here. Get out of here. Wake up, wake up. Get up, get up.
What do you want?
You got to go home. Halloween is over. Come on.
Now, don't get smart, Junior.
Well, I didn't know it was you. What's that you got on your face?
Beauty cream.
Beauty cream? I got news for you, kiddo. Don't look now, but I think it's curdled your face.
Oh, dear. At times, I'm sorry we kept your incubator warm.
Yes. Boy, you sure love me, don't you? You don't like me at all.
Oh, yes, I do,
no,
darling.
You don't.
Yes, I do.
You don't love me.
I'm thankful you're my little boy.
Oh, you is you? Well, then why is it every time you look at me, you get up, walk across the room, and punch me pop right in the nose?
Junior, Lorene, come down here.
Oh, she's discovered some of her Thanksgiving dinner's missing. I'll bet.
What's wrong, Mother?
You come down here and bring that Junior with you.
Yeah, it must be important. We slide down the banister.
Get off that banister. I waxed it yesterday.
Hey, let me in.
Are you all right, Junior?
No. Hey, Mummy, I think I hurt myself.
That's a good boy.
Yeah. Boy, they sure love me, don't you? Yeah.
Lorene.
What's the matter?
I want you to look at that turkey.
What's wrong?
One leg is missing.
Oh, that poor bird. Maybe he lost it playing hopscotch. Oh, well, he came here to be eaten, not to dance for us.
Now, don't change the subject. Hmm? And look, a portion of everything I cooked is gone. And I think I know who took it.
And I think I know who took it, too.
And I think I know who took it, too. But I'm thankful that none of us are squealers.
Well, buddy, suppose I told who took it.
Well, you go ahead and embarrass me, and I'll embarrass you when the company arrives. I'll tell the preacher all about you.
Well, I have nothing to hide.
Oh, then it's okay for me to tell him that you used to be a fan dancer?
Oh, now that's ridiculous.
Oh, it is. Hey, fiddlers, we're ready for your dance.
Well, turn on the purple lights and hand me my quill.
Now, Mother, don't get excited.
Yeah,
I'll handle Junior.
Yeah, you handle
Junior. Junior, you come here to me.
Yes, Mommy, doll.
Did you take that food?
Yes, I took it.
You didn't eat that pumpkin pie, did you?
Why?
I know how you love sweets.
Well, what's wrong with him?
Now you won't be able to eat your spinach, your cauliflower,
please,
or your castor
please,
oil.
Please, you're breaking me heart, please.
Junior, it seems for a spanking you'll bend over backwards.
Oh, no, you're not going to try none of them trick shots on me.
Junior, if you wanted food, why didn't you ask for it?
Well, because I figured my chances of getting it would be better this way.
Now you tell me. How much of the Thanksgiving dinner did you eat?
None. I ate nothing.
Do you mean to stand there and tell me that you haven't had anything to eat since breakfast?
I only ate that little bowl of hash that was in the icebox.
What bowl of hash?
A bowl of hash in the icebox. It was in the...
Oh, dear.
Hmm?
Junior, that wasn't hash.
Why?
That was dog food.
Dog food? Well, don't get excited about it. I've had me distemper shot.
Junior, couldn't you tell the difference when you tasted it? Didn't it taste different from what I make?
Look, you want to hit me, go ahead and hit me. Don't leave me in. I'm not saying whether the hash tastes different from yours or not, but I know this. From now on, I'm eating with a dog. Like it better that
way. If you don't break that boy of eating everything, someday he's going to get something that's poisonous.
Oh, no, I won't. I test everything before I try to eat it.
How?
Well, I eat it, and if I don't die, then I know it wasn't poison. Very scientific, you know. You got to use your head.
Doreen, now, he's just trying to make you forget that he's ruined my Thanksgiving dinner.
Now, you come here, Junior.
No.
I'm sorry, but I must teach you not to take things.
No. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. You hit me. But he didn't hurt.
Now, what did you do with the food you took?
It's behind the sofa in the living room.
Yes, here it is.
Yep.
Tell me, Junior. What were you going
almost
to do with
didn't
all
find
this
it,
food?
Did you? What did you say?
What were you going to do with all this food?
Well, I was going to take it and give it to that old Indian man that sells beads and blankets on the highway during the summertime.
Did he put you up to this?
No.
Did he tell you to steal this food?
No, he didn't know nothing about it. It was just little kid's idea.
Now, don't tell me that.
Now, don't yell at the boy.
No, don't yell at the boy.
Now, what about this Indian, Junior?
Well, Nemo, he's old and he's sick, and us kids thought that he deserved a nice Thanksgiving dinner, too.
Well, if he's an Indian, doesn't he know how to go out in the woods and get food?
Oh, you dreamer, you. Why, if an Indian went out and shot a duck, the game warden would get him. They can't borrow money from the bank because they ain't got any security. Did you know he didn't even get to go to school?
Well, in that case, Thanksgiving isn't important to him.
Oh, yes, it is, too, because he's an American. And besides, it was his folks that made it responsible for us to be able to celebrate this day of thanks in such an uppity way.
You seem to know a lot about the Indians.
I most certainly does. Grandpa told me the whole story, and if you ask me, it's pretty disgraceful. Pretty disgraceful it is.
So this is your grandfather's
he
idea.
He had nothing to do with it,
What else do you know about the Indians?
Well, I know that they taught us how to farm, how to hunt and prepare wild game and birds, and how to survive in the cold of the winter. And did you know, Mummy and Nemo, in spite of all the things that we've done to the Indian, he's not mad at his neighbors. Because he loves America. And though he don't have much left to give, we Americans are still taking from him. Did you know that he gave 3 sons in the last war? And in return, why, we don't even give him proper medical attention. But that Indian don't hold a grudge. Instead, he's worried. He's worried about a foreign power that's using the treatment that we give the Indians as propaganda to belittle democracy. He once told me something that made us kids really thankful that we are here.
Now, you see...
Wait, Loreen. What did the Indian say, dear?
For one thing, he said, we kids should be thankful that we are the children of today. Because we can apologize with good deeds for the mistakes that the children of yesterday made. And if we'll remember to keep our hearts closed to fear, greed and hate and lust for power, we'll only have love and understanding for the children of tomorrow.
Junior.
That's very beautiful, Junior.
Yeah,
he's a very wise man.
Yes, he is.
I'm sorry I thanked you so hard.
Well, you thanked me nice. It didn't do nothing either, and you hit me.
Well, I'm sorry, Junior. Will we let that count for the next time I catch you doing something bad?
You won't catch me.
Well, in that case, this thanking is for not telling me.
Is there a lawyer in the house?
Come on, Junior. We'll get the car and drive you out to the old Indian's house.
Oh, thank you, Nemo.
Ah, that is grand, Red. The genius of 19-year-old Andre Previn is not confined to breathtaking piano variations on the jazz classics. His thorough musical background is no more evident than in this brilliant interpretation of Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto.
accompanied by Robert Armbruster and the Elgin Orchestra, here is Andre Previn. Twenty-seven years ago, America celebrated its first Thanksgiving. In a clearing in a Massachusetts forest, the Pilgrims, undaunted by hardships that killed half their number, gave thanks for the meager fruits of their first harvest. Today, a cluster of cabins in the wilderness has become a nation covering 3 million square miles and sustaining 140 million people. The wind ripples across vast acres of wheat and oats and tasseling corn that have blossomed under the magic touch of great machines. Our land has become a land of plenty. The blessings for which we give thanks this Thanksgiving have been multiplied a millionfold
But man cannot take without giving. The mere fact that we, as individuals, are able to accept these God-given gifts incurs a responsibility. It is not enough to give thanks that we have our homes, as long as there are Americans who live in shacks and slums, the breeding ground of crime and delinquency. It is not enough to give thanks for our schools, the hospitals we share with our children, if others are raised in ignorance and neglect. It is not enough to give thanks that our dreams can be of tomorrow, while others dream of bread. As we gather together this Thanksgiving in our homes throughout the country, let us not forget that the spirit of those who pioneered our nation was a community spirit, and that the privileged have a responsibility to the underprivileged. Let us dedicate ourselves to the improvement of conditions within our communities so that others less fortunate may join us in giving thanks on other Thanksgivings. And by our renewed devotion to American ideals and traditions, make our way of life a symbol to which all humanity may aspire.
For ye thankful people come, raise a song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in, ere the winter storms begin. God, our Maker, doth provide for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come, praise the song of harvest home.
Thanksgiving is only the beginning of the holiday season, and so on behalf of the Elgin Watch Company and all the Elgin jewelers, may I invite you to join us again on December 25th when Elgin presents 2 Hours of Stars on Christmas Day with Bob Hope, Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy and Mortimer Snerd, Lawrence Melchior, Al Jolson, Cass Daly, Ozzie and Harriet, Danny Thomas, Joe Stafford, and many others. This is Donna Beecher saying good night and happy holidays.
Possible for the Elgin Watch Company of Elgin, Illinois, to bring you the 7th annual 2-hour Thanksgiving Day greeting. The Elgin Watch Company would like to add that Jimmy Durante can be heard on the Camel Show on this same station every Friday night. Red Skelton joined us to the courtesy of Procter & Gamble's Tide and Camay and Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of The Three Musketeers with Lana Turner, Gene Kelly, and June Allison. Gary Moore can be heard on Ever Sharp's Take It or Leave It every Sunday night on this same station. And Don Ameche can be heard regularly on the Charlie McCarthy program. 2 Hours of Stars was produced by Earl Eby and John Crist and written under the supervision of Ed Helwig. This is Ken Carpenter saying good night.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.